Hey guys, Pastor Sue here. Got a story for you. It's from the book of Acts, chapter 12. It's all about the wacky world of being a disciple. In this story, we see the body of Christ in action. We see a community of disciples committed to following Jesus, depending on the Holy Spirit, looking out for each other, while all the while trying to trust God, trying to hang on to Jesus in an uncertain touch-and-go situation that has them filled with all kinds of fear and doubt. They have no idea how all of what they're facing is going to turn out. Sound familiar? Can you relate? But despite the fear and the doubt, they press on, praying, hoping, persevering, even though everything around them seems pretty hopeless. I love this story because it's so human and so God. It's so raw and real because it's what life as a disciple is really like. No fake plastic halos here. No holier-than-thou attitudes. No name-it-and-claim-it thinking. No we-got-this-God mentality. No committees or strategic plans. Nope. Just the opposite. Real people facing a real challenge, wondering if, when, or how God is going to intervene, while at the same time, desperately hanging on to Jesus, hoping he'll do something, anything, to get them through it. It's an awesome story because it's an us story. It's a story about us living in the real world where real challenges, trials, and lots of bad things happen. Things that are part and parcel of real life. This story is about the real world of real life where real disciples are always walking that thin line between doubt and faith. So if you're feeling like you'll never measure up as a disciple, that you just ain't got the faith, this story's for you. Here's the thing. Faith without doubt isn't real faith, because real faith always operates in the real world, and the real world doesn't have room for either God or faith. And because it doesn't have room for God or for such a thing called faith, it'll take every opportunity to squeeze what faith you do have right out of you. And once it squeezes it out of you, it'll try to trample it into the dust. But because you follow Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, the one who has conquered the world, doubt doesn't have to have the last word. There's more to the story. Let's take a look. So, without further ado, let's go to Acts and the first generation of disciples. Our featured disciple is Peter, one of the original 12 disciples who were closest to Jesus. So we're in the part of God's story that comes after Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus has returned to his Father. The promised Holy Spirit has come. The gospel is taking off, and the Christian community is growing. So far, so good. But we're in the real world here. The real world of political and religious intrigue, where kings and priests often make strange bedfellows. And this is exactly what happens here. King Herod, the puppet king of the Roman territory of Judea, notices that this strange Jesus gospel is gaining ground and sees it as a great opportunity to ingratiate himself with the Jewish religious leaders, who aren't at all cool with the Jewish Christians and their so-called good news of a crucified Messiah. In their eyes, the gospel is a bunch of garbage, and those who proclaim it are even worse, profaners of and defectors from the Jewish faith, traitors. So looking for political brownie points, Herod arrests some of these wayward Jewish Christians and has James, a prominent leader in the Christian community in Judea, put to death. This decisive maneuver gets Herod the recognition and approval he wants from the Jewish religious establishment. So, being the brilliant opportunist that he is, Herod goes on to arrest Peter, one of the infamous 12, who's running around boldly preaching the very gospel that the Jewish religious leaders abhor. So, Peter's in prison, waiting trial, being guarded by no less than 16 soldiers. Lots of soldiers for one guy. While the Christian community that he hangs with is praying for him. The night before his trial, he's sleeping between two soldiers bound to them with chains. If that's not enough Roman military muscle, there's a couple of sentries standing guard at the entrance. Obviously, Herod's expecting trouble, but it's not exactly the kind of trouble he has in mind. In fact, it's not at all what either Peter or his community of disciples has in mind. Here's what I mean. So, Peter's sleeping there with his Roman chaperones when suddenly an angel of the Lord appears, wakes Peter up, and tells him to get dressed. The chains fall off Peter's wrist, and he just follows the angel out of the prison, walks right past the guards to the city where the gates to the city open, just like that. Now, cities in the ancient world closed and locked their gates at night to keep riffraff out. In this instance, they spontaneously open, and the riffraff evangelist Peter simply walks through them and out to freedom. Now, during this whole crazy journey from the prison to the city and out into the street, Peter was thinking that he was seeing a vision. In other words, he wasn't sure it was really happening. In other words, he probably thought he was receiving a word of knowledge, letting him know that God was going to act supernaturally at some point in some way to get him out of the pickle that he's in. It's only when the angel leaves him that Peter comes to himself and says, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." So once this dawns on him and all doubt is gone, at least for the moment, Peter goes to the house of Mary, the mother of Mark, where the community of disciples had gathered to pray for him. The story gets wilder and even more doubtful. Peter knocks on the door, and a servant named Rhoda answers, sees him, and runs back to the others without letting Peter in. Go figure. He gets this far just for Rhoda to slam the door in his face. The others, when they hear the news, promptly tell Rhoda that she's out of her mind. She keeps insisting that she's perfectly sane. Still not ready to give up their doubt, they come up with a brilliant explanation that it must be Peter's angel, not Peter himself, who's standing at the door. They can't believe it's really the flesh and blood Peter, whom they know and love. In the meantime, Peter keeps knocking on the door. So they finally open the door and are completely astonished when they see him, not his angel, standing there. Okay, crazy story, but here's the point. Doubt and faith go together. Daring to trust even when there's doubt leads to deeper faith, stronger roots, and a crazy harvest. Let's start with Peter. He's one of the 12. He's literally been living with Jesus for 3 years. He's denied Jesus 3 times, has been forgiven, has received the Holy Spirit in a big flames of fire way, and has been boldly preaching the gospel and doing miracles in the name of Jesus all over the place. He's also been arrested once before this run-in with Herod and his political aspirations. That time, the first time, he was arrested and imprisoned by the Jewish religious establishment. And just like this time, he escaped with the help of an angel. In other words, Peter's been there and done that. And yet, this time, he still can't believe that an angel is actually rescuing him again. Remember, he thinks he's seeing a vision, meaning he thinks he's receiving a word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit. It's only when the angel leaves him and he comes to his senses that he knows without a doubt that God has rescued him from Herod's evil clutches. Huh? Even if he was seeing a vision, didn't he believe that God was actually going to do what he said he was going to do? Apparently, the Apostle Peter, who literally walked with Jesus and who witnessed, received, and experienced Holy Spirit resurrection power in all kinds of situations, has his doubts about what he thought was a vision. Even the great Apostle Peter, who's been through the ringer and survived on numerous occasions, thanks to Jesus, has his doubts about how and what God was going to do in this particular situation. What gives? Then there's the community of disciples who've been faithfully praying for Peter since his arrest. One would assume that they've been praying that God would save him from Herod's clutches in a real way, not figuratively, but literally. So they obviously believe in the power of prayer. But when Peter appears at the door, they don't believe it's really him. And when they finally see him, they're astonished, as if God can't or won't or didn't actually bust the real Peter out of a real prison. What's up with that? I'm sure they're aware of his first prison escape, the time when the religious establishment had tossed him in the slammer. So why all the doubt when the real Peter shows up at the door, unannounced, but totally intact and unscathed? What gives? If anyone would have faith that Peter would be, could be rescued by God in a big way, it's all of these guys, Peter himself and the rest of them, the whole community of disciples. They've all been there and done that, yet the whole bunch of them has doubts. What's important is not that they have doubts. That's bound to happen in the world we live in. It's that they're all trying to be faithful in the middle of all kinds of doubts. They're walking that thin line between faith and doubt that every disciple is called to walk. Which means even if you have faith, even if you trust God with your whole mind, heart, body, and soul, doubt is always lurking. That's the life of a disciple. Growing in faith comes with growing pains. And growing pains are there because we're human. We're not perfect. And we all have our weaknesses. Plus, the world we live in and walk in is always telling and teaching us that it's not very wise to trust God. At least not this time. Granted, maybe he came through the last time, but who's to say he'll do it again? Or that he'll do it in the way we want him to do it? Or that it won't be hard? Or that it won't cost us something? Or that he might be too late? Or that we won't like what he actually does? Or that people will think we're crazy? Or it just doesn't make sense? Etc., etc., etc. Maybe God will do X, Y, or Z instead. Who knows? You can't trust him. So the rocks are always out there trying to crush us every time we try to take a step in faith. Growing in faith comes with growing pains, and growing pains are there because Jesus is bigger and wilder than you can imagine at any point in your journey with him. Jesus gives only what we're capable of receiving at the moment. Think about it. Both Peter and his community of disciples had seen Jesus at work, and they believed, at least in theory, that he could do it, that he could rescue Peter from his dire predicament. God can do anything. It's the how, when, and what God will actually do that pushes them into bewilderment and doubt. But this is key. They trust even when they don't fully know or understand all of the details of God's plan and how they will all unfold. They let go. They submit themselves to the Holy Spirit. They step forward in faith, not knowing exactly how things will unfold and what the actual results will be. Here's what I'm saying. Peter has faith that he's seeing a vision from God, even if he has some doubt that he's actually going to get out of jail again, scot-free, with all of his limbs intact. It's Herod. You just never know. And the other disciples have faith to pray for Peter's supernatural rescue from a desperate situation, even though they may have some doubt that he'll actually get off scot-free again. Look, James was actually executed. That's pretty serious and pretty final. Maybe Herod will punish Peter in some horrible way too. You just don't know what this guy will do. Maybe Herod will turn his attention to them next. Who knows? But as it turns out, Jesus is bigger and wilder than they can imagine and dare to believe. So when it actually happens, it's not exactly what they expect. It's better because it's Jesus. But they would never have come to know this. They would never have experienced this if they hadn't stepped forward in faith. So if you find yourself doubting whether you have enough faith to be a good and faithful disciple, know this. You're in good company. Neither did Peter, neither did the rest of them. Truth is, each small, faltering step taken in faith leads to greater faith, step by step. Peter and company did just that, take a step, because they were connected to Jesus. If they hadn't been connected to the source of faith, to Jesus himself, they would never have had the courage to take a step forward in the middle of all the don't knows and what ifs. As long as you live as a real disciple in the real world, doubt will be there. Know this. Pick up your cross, follow Jesus, and see what he'll do this time. It's Jesus. He's bigger and wilder than you can imagine and dare to believe.